The reason why I say that is because, see, what I'm going to show you is the difference between how we're observing things now versus how they were observed before. And this, what this is going to allow you to do, this is going to allow you to step into the body that you should be looking from, because that'll give you a more clear view of what's happening. And even in the most simplest way of understanding this is, do you know that your eye flips the image that you're looking at before it actually gets to the brain? So the brain, it's like a camera. The camera lens works the same way. It flips the image. And so this means traditionally, even how you're looking right now, it's not even the way that things actually are. They're actually would be upside down just from that simple thing alone. Not only that the mind then encodes all of this into another language and into fluids and things like that, and then sends it to your brain, or as it's going through your brain, it's not sending it, it's translating. And this is giving you the picture. So there's quite a bit of things going on before you get to the stage of where you are now in perceiving and how you're understanding the space that's around you. So what's most important is to listen to this conversation about how you can metamorphosize your consciousness, because it's still your responsibility. I will tell everyone here that we've definitely made some agreements in lifetime to meet, in lifetimes to meet at this point, but it only could really be for one thing. It's actually very simple to get you to the stage of progressing your consciousness beyond the envelope of any limitation. And to do that, there is simple principles, but in the end, we'll learn to smile at what we fear most and to laugh at what we hate. And what that'll do is cancel out those fields. So something simple could be so complex. And this is how I can show it to you. Right now, if I was to study the top levels of knowledge, I would only be actually studying magnetics and electricity, because as mystical as things can seem sometimes, it actually boils into these two with everything. And that's why magnetism is the bird and then electricity is the snake. And between these two, you have the entire evolutionary string, everything that goes in between, including mammals, including insects, including the trees. So what happens is that this M and this E is the only thing you need to be worried about. Me, yourself. This is two different schools of thought. It's because, see, people used to study Ma'at, and most people are still on a Ma'at system. They actually run on the actual consciousness of the Mother Earth. That's why they are always akin to the abundance and pleasure, and that being their preference. But I will tell you that there is a specific school of thought that has already come that has bought these, which are known as the Elohim, or just the Els for short. And this is in the chromosomes that the female chromosome contains, I believe, I was just looking this up again because I always get these numbers kind of crazy, but we'll say 22 and 24. Whatever the numbers are, it's just that the female contains less and the male contains more. Then this has come to a concept that, since in the male mind, more means more, greater, then that the male is more powerful. And this, of course, is in the female mind, that actually know the origin or the beginning or no numbers is greater. And there is the positive and then the negative, and the positive and negative, because they both contain the both poles, that create the actual conduction of this reality. And this conduction of this reality from positive and negative gives us force, it gives us motion, it gives us inertia, and it gives us acceleration. And with these principles, which are the only principles that exist, you get all the materials that are around you. So I'm giving you the male masculine side of how to get your mind, because you're using the male mind. What this addition in chromosomes actually is it's electricity, because everything was just magnetic before we got here. And meaning we got here in this state of consciousness, because to assume that we're going somewhere would be to assume that, I'm going to get this straight for you, to assume that we're going somewhere would be to assume that who we are can be pinpointed, that we have coordinates to ourselves and who we really are. And that's not the truth. And all the ancient cultures knew this. The Greeks knew this. They're the last level of knowledge. The Hindus, the Indians knew this, and the Tibetans knew this, that what we really are and whatever we really can become and all the places that there really are to be and the whole stretch of time is all right here. It's not in coordinates. It's not at a specific place, because we don't, as a soul, if you want to become a soul again, you don't have coordinates. You can't be captured. It's only this, the English word would be the ego, but that word is highly abused and it's bleached now, so you can't really catch the status of what it really is. And in fact, you can't even catch the status anymore of what the being that's operating as in my name, James, or my history, my story, is operating like. But what you can start to identify with, if you were looking for an expansion, is what's called the Spiritu Sancti, or the Atmo, or the Atmo, which is what we get our word atmosphere. It's basically where everything comes from and is and ever will be. So, the only reason why I'm bringing this up today is for it to, you know, cook in your consciousness, for you to understand or understand that what we're doing right now, when we start thinking of ourselves as just this being, is like saying that water, steam, ice are all different things when they're all the same thing. They're just in different levels of force, motion, inertia, and acceleration. And it doesn't stop there with water. When you see the bigger picture, you realize that it's everything in the creation. And that this going on right here will continue. This is ingenious, the whole bipolar reality that we're in. That's why they put so much space here. Now, what they say is that the atom contains 99.9% and even more, all 99999 empty. Just like in comparison to how many of these there are, and whether they're flat or they're round or whatever, or they're just in consciousness, they're holographic, whatever you want to come up with, it still only makes up an inkling or minuscule of how much energy is actually around us. You know this because of how much the energy that people are actually using. Okay? If it's the holographic reality, then every unit within the reality would take advantage of the same spectrum of energy pretty much. We're showing that there's so much energetic potential even within a little bit of this. This is how much DMT it takes. There's enough bioavailable energy there to rip open a realm, to allow you to see into other realms. So if we start to, instead of just spiritual, which was why this configuration was chosen, because see, what Maat is Maat is, I like the way it was put, it's a barefoot woman with a hemp skirt and totally connected to everything and not having to think about it. So it's simple. It's not, if you try to describe it, it's not something that's going to want to wow you with the complexity of its existence and all that kind of stuff. That's what the Elohim or the electric does. It, in doing that, creates all these memories and all this existence and all that, and then Maat is holding the space. That's why they say, oh, you know, hold space in the circle, because this energy is holding the space, and it's got a lot of space. And in that's why metaphorically children cannot really do much harm to the woman in the womb. Most children, out of billions of children, are encased inside of something that even within a physical body that this child's kicking and moving all around, and it's not destroying the mother. You see what I mean? She's in, so in perfection, the womb can contain lots of crazy shit. See, the thing is this is what thing. See, we don't realize that the earth is in perfection. So all the shit that people are doing, it's containing that. It's not feeling that. Like, meaning it's feeling it. This is when you happen to use the same words for everything. It's feeling it, but it's feeling it from an experience level, which is filling up its space. You see what I mean? And there's so much space still, because you could do the simple equation of how much energy we're using in this particular parallel. There's so much space that Earth hasn't even, she hasn't even begun to get her fill yet. So this means that also this is like an egg attempting to go into its next stage of incubation, but still nowhere near close to it because it doesn't have enough experiences yet, enough electricity in order to do it. What is it trying to do? It's trying to get off this 23.5 degree tilt that it's on. So that way, when it straightens itself up completely, see, either it's going to straighten itself up or it's going to go into what is known as Euler's disk. Okay. What Euler's disk is it's something that basically is, it has more mass. This is like when you lift up a like a magnet sometimes. Magnet has more mass than ratio. This is like a pyrite, known as fool's gold. It's heavier. It feels a little heavier, okay? So when you have something like that that has more mass, and then it's sitting on something concave, like they call that a parabol. It's a parabolic. So you have this disk, which is what I keep explaining to people, that the Earth is like a, it's terrainous, but it's not necessarily a spheroid. It's a toroid in its energetic field, but it's a disk in its physical field. And that's why people keep having this whole flat Earth thing. It's got contours on it, of course, in mountains, but it's a disk in a parabol. And what that does is it creates this whopping that basically with magnetics in a gravitational center, which all magnets have, gravitation is just a force, then it could basically keep whopping itself and it will keep running. It's perpetual energy. It's like you would start this thing and then it would never stop. And then if you could ever bring it up, like, I mean, I can't even describe to you what would happen, but generally it just whops forever. Because of how large it is. And it's making itself larger by the memories. This may be a little bit far out, but just remember it, you can always go back to it. So as it's getting larger, it keeps its inertia to keep whopping. And that's why down here for us, it looks like, oh shit, the whole reality is powered on dualities, right? But in the center, like there's the Inga, and the Pingala, these are the two lines of the energetic fields of the Kundalini, right? And then there's the Sushumna. And the Sushumna is allowing this negative and positive, it's giving them a way to transfer to the other. So that's actually what balance is. Balance is just a bridge that allows the positive or the negative to be able to go to the other side. So what this also means is, just from that diagram alone, is that basically everything is perfect. That as negative as we may be experiencing in reality right now, that it's actually the way the reality is supposed to run according to this entire system. And what happens is if we start observing it rather than being in it, then we can tap into these higher levels of knowledge. But if we're in it, then something happens to where we really are entering into illusion because we start believing things are the ways that they're not. Like, for instance, I'll give you another example. Like in the radio, and this is why there's no souls inside of people. Let me show you how this works. In a radio, the radio receives the signal and then the radio starts playing music. But are we to assume that there are people inside of that radio? right? It's a signal going, and the radio is then playing the tune that's sent from the signal. That's what the soul is doing. We're receiving the signal from the soul and then playing out a life that the soul is giving. And if we're to assume that the soul is inside the body, you can say, yeah, this is why ancient languages were powerful, because they had ways of explaining to you this. That, yeah and no, the signal is here, but it's not here, because what it is, it can't be contained. It would be like saying, so now soul is at latitude 553 in Costa Rica, whatever, soul is there. Soul can't be defined as that. And this switch in the mind starts to unhinge all of how the mind plunges itself into an illusion, into believing things are not the way they really are. Because then this is what happens. When you start believing things in the way that they aren't really, you start to have fears, you start to have negative experiences, you start to be upset at others, you start to age, you start to not know where you are. All this starts to ensue because this is actually opposite. What you're experiencing then is opposite to what all this is. And it also is it's a necessary space. So you got to get from that pole back to the center again. And the center, if you're not truth, is actually repelling you. You get to it and it pushes you onto the other pole. And this is why a lot of people, they go from one belief to another belief, one system to another system. And then it's like a yin and a yang. Even the masters that knew about this, they would do it intentionally. They would say, 6 months, I'm basically going to spend in the world. And then 6 months, I'm going to go into reclusion. Because they would know that, hey, this is the principles to how things are. Like, if this is what I learned this morning. It's you that are moving. The path is not moving. So if you move yourself onto a path, it's going to go to a specific direction. It's not going to change. You need to change. And many people are on the wrong path. And what happens now is that you need to get on the right path, because this path shows where it's going to go. It's not going to change. Like the way people are and what's going on and how even you become, it's a path, and it's not going to change. You have to get off this path. So if you're in this world right now and you see where it's going with this Donald Trump's and all this stuff that is doing, it's on the wrong path. So those who choose to keep digging into it and accepting their ideologies and all, I mean, there's so much in this mega structure of false ideologies. A person can say now something and it doesn't even get checked through a system like this before it's denoted to be true. And because, again, we're in a reality that, yes and no, you'll find that if a person's still locked into that, you know, the ghost consciousness, then they can't see it anyway. So then you're actually attempting to make someone see something that their consciousness is not even configured to see. Good luck. It's going to equal an argument, and it's going to equal you getting pulled back into the illusion and the idea of yourself. Like when a person will now argue with you, you don't know who I am, blah, 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 blah. You're right. I don't know who you are, and I'm a mirror of you, showing you you don't know where you are because you're referring to things. And this is why masters, I'm sure the greatest masters in the world, when you come talking that, they can hear it from your first sentence that you haven't come into the total realization of the principles of how things work, and that you're still on that path that leads nowhere. And then from there, it's like, you know, now the compassion comes in, because then now they have to, you know, explain step by step. And this is what's been this last 6 years for me. I've been made to forget things so that way I would say them again. You see how that works? Let me say that again. I've been made to forget things. Like I remember when I was going through this whole process in the room, in the cell. And see, I'm no dummy. So what happens is that everything that was going on, I was sending questions into a space that I knew would give me questions, the answer right away. It's like fast as a computer. That if you can ask a question, it can give you the answer. So I was like, what are you doing now? Because there was, I felt all this process going on in my consciousness, in my head area. And it said, if you knew, now we're basically encrypting it. It doesn't come back to you in English. We're encoding it, because if you knew what you were gonna do in the future, you wouldn't do it. And it was because I was in a stage then that, oh, I'm believing in this external, you know, source, and you know, I got all sorts of concepts and things going on. But if you had told me that 5 years, 6 years ago later, I would be walking away from that, I would probably cause a schism within my own consciousness to hear it coming from that source. Because, you know, this source is telling the truth about everything. So this is what I realized in the room. This is, and I said all that to say this. If you don't carry yourself and conduct what you're doing from that side of consciousness that I was telling you about, the side that's real and true, then what happens is that you don't realize the sequence of what you're going to need to explain the person and how they're going to need to hear it in order for them to get the breakthrough. And meaning that even at times, if I say this came from somewhere else, or this came from someone else, now what happens is I've deferred the energy. It's all coming from the same place. All knowledge is coming from the same source. No one can say the knowledge is theirs. That was already identified. Like, nobody can say nature belongs to them. Nobody can say the soul belongs to them. So, but what happens is, if you don't understand how to walk people out of the path that they're in, that's a maze that's leading to nowhere, then you won't understand how to give them the sequence of the knowledge. So even you saying that the knowledge came from over here, somewhere else, then allows them to, one, believe that the knowledge is not yours and didn't come from you, despite when they heard the knowledge first, they heard it from you, so it came from you. Do you see what I'm saying? When a person hears something new first, it doesn't matter where it came from. If it's translated to them from another person, it's new to them and it's coming from them. The reason why it's important to work, and I don't want to get very complex here, I have to be able to simplify what I'm telling you right now, but it actually explains why there's even energy behind what we're saying and why people even believe in us. It's based on how much power is behind the origin point of what we're letting them discover for the first time. So if you start to taint that, which is what the society has done, it has people that have patents talking about they created it first. It has people that are supposed to be professors and created theories and all that, and they say they created them first. What that does is it takes the new away from it. So then it's no longer yours, it's Einstein's. And through Einstein, it's got to you. You see what I mean? I'm not sure if I'm making sense. I'm attempting to explain the power within what we're hearing audibly. These are not just words. This is breaking down how is the power behind the frequency. The power behind the frequency is within the intention of the being that's speaking it. So you could be really powerful in your own right if you had strong intentions about what you were saying. That's why people who had the strongest intentions, even if they're lying sometimes, people are like, wow, what is he talking about? Like up there, like Hitler. Strong intentions equal a vibration that people pick up as an energy. This is what I'm explaining to celestial mechanics. All the light, like we take in the sun's energy, we sit down there, we get suntan and vitamin D, and there's more of that going on. Every single old hole in the face, through the eyes, that permeation through the frontal lobe, the thoughts of other people are being taken in as energy, the rays that are in that spectrum being taken energy, the swirl on the top of the head where the auric and etheric energies are coming in from even other sources. And all this, the consciousness is processing and consuming and regurgitating. And then whatever it regurgitates, whether that's action, whether that's feelings, happiness, sadness, Everything around them then takes that, like a tree takes our carbon dioxide, and then starts to process that, eat it basically, and then do its same thing for another thing to do that same thing. And that's what creates the hologram. So even when we use terms like hologram, this is a very distorted way of trying to view what's going on, because a person's saying a word and then they're not necessarily describing how that works. From the real level to where we're from, they'll explain, oh yeah, here's the string of connection between everything. When this does that, because there's got to be force, motion, inertia, and acceleration. This is not hocus pocus. You can't see it with your eyes that you're using now. But if your eye was whole, you could see it. So you would see all the fibers and the connections between everything, and its stage and its emotion and its demeanor, and whether it's good or we call good, or whether it's bad. But really what it means is, can it be applied to this or can it be applied to that? It's not saying what we think. And that's the end of what I have to say here today, is that we need to take a look again. I'm just only telling this to myself. Don't think I'm talking at you, just in case you can say in your mind, hey, I already knew that. Because we do. And that's just what the realization is. It's in some people come into that realization entirely different ways. And who they are inside of them, if we're just to assume that they're no one great, then we become fools indeed. Because what we really are, all of us, there's no one separate, is all coming from the same thing. And in that is unlimited potential. And if you cannot harness it, if you cannot stir it up, that they call it, stir up the ether, that just shows what's going on with you. And that's how it's a mirror. That's how the reality is a mirror. Because if you can't change this disaster, it just shows what's going on with you. Like, you'll be showing yourself, like, can you change your disaster? Because you're a disaster. You see? And this is truth, right? And then that truth is, it powers through the illusion. And that's the way that, you see, because, see, our responsibility is from integrity. It's not from anything someone else is telling us to do. It should be coming from ourselves. If you fully have done it, it should be coming from you, because then you already know what everyone is. And not just the people, not just the animals, but the metals and everything else. You already know. It's all just watching you, seeing how well you've learned the master lesson about our work. You see what I mean? What we do, who we are. And you know, and that's it. And that's where you go back into the divine feminine, because the divine feminine is who it is and what it is. It doesn't need questions or to be questioned. It doesn't need to be asked, why are you doing things the way you're doing things? Like, you can't even approach that. Even Mayat, you can't approach it even from a, you can't even tap into it. Like, it doesn't, you can't connect to it that way. Right? Because it doesn't have those peripherals. It doesn't even have peripherals. It's completely wild. But the Elohim, they're different. That's why these two are different. They can be plugged into. And that's what people have done. They plugged into all these other, these electrical forces. That's why we're using electricity. And it's taken them on a hell of a ride, just as what it would be if you grab an eel. Because there it is again. You see L, you grab an eel, it will push about 8,000 watts into your body. There are some videos on YouTube, it's quite interesting. Most people die. So this is you can't even call these brotherhoods and sisterhoods, because the positive and negative exist in both of these. This is called dielectricity, by the way, if you wanted to research it. But it's moving through both of these. So this is what happens when somebody's like, oh yeah, this is the negative divine. No, you missed it. This is at least both. probably some other stuff we ain't even got a concept of yet because we've been so long in the illusion, like what this is. The sushumna. Like, not forgetting there's actually a space to where you transfer between one realm and another. Where is that even on Earth? You say, oh, it's at the poles. You can bring a pole here. Magnets pull poles. This is why this level of knowledge, this is Mag. Or Magdalena, you know, Mary, Ma, etc. It goes on and on. So the last thing that I had to say was, is that, yeah, that's it. Actually, it's the sun and the darkness. I noticed this morning that most names that people have now mean fire. And this is definitely a product of the fire worship that has gone on for the last 1,000, 2,000 years. But with Adam being, see, because, and then the concept, again, it's giving you these poles right away. Like, so what happens is in this illusion, Adam in the garden is a male and Eve is a female. But even if you understand occultism, Adam in the garden is supposed to be Adam Kadmon. And Adam Kadmon is actually hermaphrodite. So it's a male and a female. Eve and Eva, which is the name that Masons yell, comes from Venus. And so, and that's why she's got the snake with her. She's got the tree. The snake is the knowledge. The snake's got Phi. That's what the apple is. It's Phi. And then the tree itself is the serpent. It's not just a serpent coming down the tree. The tree is the serpent. The serpent has wisdom. These trees have wisdom. You eat the tree, now you're going to be like them. Knowing good from evil, meaning that you'll have all the memories of the world and what's good and what's bad. And then at that point, you will know you're naked. That means you will come into consciousness of your physical body. Then the name will be pronounced. This is the name. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. You will be born. You will come through the deluge, which is your mother's womb, and you will come to the birth, which is the end of the water, and you will walk onto land. And then you will be now subject to those who are the land themselves, which are the Elohim, which are positive and negative, but are serpents in nature, which the Upanishads, Bhagavads, and all this wrote about, that the actual land masses we're standing on are the Titans. And some of them are pieces of Ma'at. So every single body that we're standing on actually has a story. And those are the realms, not just existing here, but existing on multiple levels, that different stages of consciousness in its oscillation up and down the tree. The oscillation is the force, the motion, the inertia, and the acceleration. That's hosting the reality to fill the space. So again, it's a grand mechanism, if you would ask me. Quite spooky if you're actually stuck in one of these. The sheer level alone, like I'm just now unifying many things, but just the sheer level of this kind of structure proves a very advanced intelligence that we would need to sit back for a moment and think about ourselves. Because whatever it's doing is inside of us. It would probably be in our best interest to figure it out through meditation and through in-depth reflection. But first by solving, this is like a mathematical equation. That's why mathematical symbols are cult symbols. And if you want to get someone out of a program, right, like a program that has a virus in it, you need to know how to deprogram the whole damn thing. So you also need to know the language. And this is not fanciful stuff. Like there are billions of people inside of this right now. And they're using languages and constantly taking on new languages that are basically causing an alphabet soup in their consciousness. Meaning like if you got a little bit of one language, a little bit of another language, and you know, you got your emotions, and that's chaos. Think about how many things people have in them right now that they're processing and dealing with. And then more is being added on because why? Because they contain everyone. Contains these cells,
the Mayat cells. So, but they're not at the stage of Mayat. You see what I mean? Or even the stage of the Elohim. So they can't actually process it. You see? The more you can process it, that's why I say if you, what do they call it, the breath, divine breath, to where you can sit still for a moment, and it's not how many breaths you take. It's just that one little breath and how you understand how to use the energy in that breath. You see? So, but it can afford all of this. Like whatever we decide to do,